Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Take the North podcast along with Dan Wiederer. I am Mark Grody, and this show originating from Halas Hall. We are finally back at Halas Hall after the bye week. Everybody getting regenerated and rested up and ready to go because Wiederer, this is a big week for the Bears, obviously, going up against the Washington Commanders on the road with a 4-2 record as just another tune-up before things really get real in the division.
Just to set the stage for our audience here on YouTube, Mark and I are probably about 30 yards from each other, but we're in totally separate rooms at Halas Hall. He in an old NFL Network studio, me in the Midway here. And so one of these days, maybe we'll do this actually side by side since we're in such close proximity. But for now, we're making the best of the technology we have. Right, Mark?
Yeah, we have to get one of our fine Take the North engineers to come out here probably because Dan, if left to you and I, and to a lesser degree, our producer, Adam Studzinski, we're going to be in separate rooms just about every time as we put this together. But that's all right, man. You command the hallway. I command the NFL Network studio. We got this market cornered, brother.
Studs can tell you that I've had corners cornered in this building here. I've done this podcast from the coat closet downstairs. I've done it from a back green room somewhere that I'm not even sure we're supposed to be. There's a lot of different pockets that you can record the Take the North podcast at. Sometimes it's necessary when the media crush gets big and you just got to find a little bit of a space, right?
You have to be resourceful. And I'll be honest, there's been many a times where I think that I've carved out a private place, including this studio that I'm in. I would just like to say that I was the original founder of this studio. Now everybody uses it, so I get a little bit angry when I come in here and there's other people, but there's always those secret spots, and maybe I need to stop telling people about it.
You got to stop telling people about the secret spots, otherwise we lose the secret spots.
Yeah.
So it is a fight out here at times for space. But you bring up in the outset a very interesting week here out at Halas Hall because it's Bears Commanders week. And a week ago at this time, we thought this was going to be the showdown of all showdowns. Number one overall pick versus the number two overall pick. Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels. It was so intriguing that CBS flexed the game into the 3:25 slot. They threw Jim Nantz and Tony Romo and Tracy Wolfson on the call. And now Jaden Daniels may not play. We've got the news coming out of Washington that he is currently, per Dan Quinn, week to week with the rib injury he suffered on Sunday against the Panthers. Dan Quinn said today, Mark, that Jaden Daniels suffered that rib injury on the first play of the game, ended up playing 10 snaps in that game before turning things over to Marcus Mariota. And I know that when CBS kind of moved their A-team and carved out the stage, that they weren't expecting Caleb Williams versus Marcus Mariota to be the center stage attraction.
Yeah, I think that obviously it would ruin a lot of it, but the fact that Caleb Williams has come on like he has, as we've been talking about, especially in the last two games, and we could say three if you'd like to go back that far as well, I think that they would accept that too. I'm worried, man, because I guess as one who covers this team, yeah, I want to see it too. Like, I don't necessarily need the Bears to have an easier way of it in Washington. I want to see the spectacle too. I want all the hyperbole. I want all the pomp and circumstance that we've got some of that today at the podium. So I'm hoping for it. But man, we know how these rib injuries are. I mean, typically a player has a rib injury, they're going to miss at least a week. So I begin the week pessimistic that Jaden Daniels will be able to play in the game. But why would they want to take a chance this early in the season, despite what it is with what is their franchise quarterback? And it looks like he's going to be great for a long time.
No question, particularly with a dual threat quarterback, a guy that's going to be moving around a lot, a guy who needs to use his body to throw the football. And man, I was talking to Studs before we came online here that, anybody that's suffered through a bruised rib, a cracked rib, it is a very, very painful injury. You can take a lot of stuff to numb it. You can take a lot of stuff to get through, but it is different trying to play quarterback in the NFL against a really good defense with a bad rib. So I think you're right. I think it's probably increasingly unlikely that Jaden Daniels will play. We'll obviously monitor that day to day out here during the week, and it will remove some of the luster from this matchup, but hopefully for the Bears' sake, they come back focused, ready, rested, capable of continuing a winning streak here, which is, not super common, and we're on a three-game surge here. The Bears looking for their first road win of the season, not counting the neutral site London victory over the Jaguars. And we'll see what they've got in store later in the week.
Yeah, I mean, to continue to take advantage of what's in front of you. Yeah, the Bears have gone up against some bad defenses. We have taken that into account. It has to be taken into account. And if they do play against Washington without Jaden Daniels and it's Marcus Mariota, then hey, take advantage of that, because Jaden Daniels has been legitimate this year. And I finally got a chance to watch him a couple times, a couple of weeks ago, and then the very little that he played on Sunday. But from my eyes and from what I've seen, this guy is really good. He's dangerous. He's explosive, and he can do it. He's got a big arm, and he's got big legs too.
It'd be interesting. And then it's a good type of challenge for a Bears defense that wants challenge, right? And they're thirsting for it, and they want to see what they can do. It should be a fascinating game regardless of who plays. By the way, Marcus Mariota in that trouncing of Carolina on Sunday was 18 for 23, 205 yards, 2 touchdowns. So the offense continued to hum, albeit against a bad Panthers defense that we're very familiar with. But it's not like there was a steep fall off when Mariota came in the game on Sunday afternoon.
My experience is watching backup quarterbacks, and we've seen a ton of it here with the Bears, that typically when they first enter a game, when they are hoisted into action, there's that adrenaline going, sort of that nothing to lose factor, and we see a lot of quarterbacks thrive in that area, make you think, oh, it's really not much of a steep step off. But I think that eventually all, and this goes for backup players at any position in the NFL, if you are a backup player, a backup quarterback, eventually you will be exposed. Nobody has a backup quarterback on their roster. I mean, there have been occasions every once in a while where maybe there's a backup that's worthy of being a starter, but typically not. So, I mean, we know the record throughout Marcus Mariota's career. So I do think, while he was good, I mean, I can't take anything away from him, he is a backup quarterback in the NFL, and the Bears would have to take advantage of that.
No question about it. You mentioned we heard from some players here at House Hall on Monday afternoon, Cole Kmet and TJ Edwards among them. I thought Cole was good, as he always is, pretty insightful, pretty introspective, pretty capable of kind of shining a light on some of the feelings from inside the building here. Mark Potash, I thought, asked a pretty poignant question about what about this recent offensive surge that the Bears have been on makes him feel like this is sustainable. And Cole, for about the sixth time during the regular season, answered with two words: the quarterback. You know, and I don't know that there's anybody in this building that has been as enamored with the talent, the potential, and the growth of Caleb Williams as Cole Kmet. And he expresses it so consistently and so profoundly. I do you agree?
Yeah, and if you're a Bears fan and you hear that from Cole Kmet, that the reason 4-2 is sustainable and perhaps ascending is because of the quarterback, let's just stop and let that soak in for a second. Because really, truly, when was the last time we were able to say that? That a Bears offense is good, not because of their running back, not because of their offensive line, but because of the quarterback. So I think that really needs to be taken into account. And my guess is that if Cole Kmet is saying it, that there are other people in the locker room that are seeing it. And you know what? Look, just the way you and I and everybody listening to the Take the North podcast takes in the Bears, we understand that it was shaky early on. The players felt the same way. They're like, okay, wait a minute, what do we actually have here? Is this guy good? And then you're like, sort of the way we were in training camp when we'd see those elite plays, like, oh, yeah, okay, I get it. And there's a lot of that going on right now. I can't wait to get back in the locker room on Wednesday, because I feel like that's happening. Like, people are actually seeing what Caleb Williams is doing, as opposed to just saying it and answering questions the way they think that we want the questions answered, because we ask all these questions. Right. What do you think of Caleb? What do you think of Caleb? And they're all, oh, he's great. And I watched him in college and he was awesome. But it's stuff that they have to say. Now it feels more genuine from the guys in the locker room, including the guys on the podium today.
No, I think they're seeing it, and I think they're feeling it. I think they're feeling the difference. I think they're feeling what momentum is like when you can score 5 touchdowns in a football game, which the Bears have done in each of the last 2 games they've played. It's pretty incredible stuff when you've lived this existence for as long as you have, to suddenly be shown the light, and to see the light and go, wow, this is pretty cool to be able to get on a roll like this. And Cole's one of those guys that, like, he doesn't just blow smoke to blow smoke. He's pretty honest and forthright and candid. And I've been tickled with how enamored he's been with Caleb, because as you mentioned, it is genuine. And he does know the quarterback history, not only as a Bears fan through his entire boyhood, but having been here now for five seasons and having played with Mitch and Nick and Andy and Justin and, you know, all the guys he's been forced to catch passes from during his career, he knows it. And he has genuine conviction and genuine belief that the Bears have finally solved this riddle at the most important position in the sport. And for me, Mark, as somebody that's out here reporting, it validates some of the things that I see, you know, and feel. And you go, okay, well, if Cole's feeling the same way, then there must be something here. If, you know, Keenan's feeling this way, and if DJ's feeling this way, and if Matt and Shane are feeling this way, all of a sudden you get this swell of belief, and you understand why this organization as a whole is very confident and very optimistic about where not only this season can head, but the next 5 to 10 years can head.
Yeah, even when it felt like when Justin Fields, it was a 2022 when he had the outstanding running
four game stretch. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it was, where it felt like, okay, maybe there's something here, but obviously in the next year, there's a lot of us who, I still had one final glimpse or feeling of optimism for Justin Fields. If you can put together a passing game somewhat comparable to the domination that Justin Fields did with his legs, then you've got something. But it was just so filled with that caveat, and ultimately it wasn't sustainable for Justin Fields, nor was it even with there was some good glimpses from Mitch Trubisky. Obviously, the Tampa Bay game had some nice games against Detroit. You could even say, if you want to really zero in on the final quarter of the Philadelphia game before they ended up losing that playoff game, there were moments where you're like, okay, maybe Mitch Trubisky has got it, but there was always way too many questions with those quarterbacks, even going back to Jay Cutler. And I'm going to get crazy here because he's played six games, but the trajectory that he seems on, and the word that we'll continue to use until we stop using it, is the legitimacy with which the Bears offense is playing and with the way that Caleb Williams is playing so far. So, yeah, man, I mean, just hearing it from players to confirm what, and you and I were on the same page with a lot of the stuff with Justin Fields towards the end, and of course, putting our reputations on the line for Caleb Williams.
But by the way, a little tease here for later in the week. I will have something at ChicagoTribune.com at the end of the week. And then we are going to bring some audio to the Take North podcast for our listen to this episode at the end of the week related to Caleb Williams and his return home. And I bring that up because his return home is another obstacle that he's got to face, right? He's going back to DC this weekend to play in front of a large group of family and friends and people that have been in his background. And, you know, that's something that as a young quarterback, you have to manage. Now, I think we both agree that the maturity he's shown through every stage of his time with the Bears since the pre-draft process until now has been pretty impressive. But this is another thing that you have to navigate your week, and you have to have the steadiness, and you have to be able to control your excitement and your energy and whatever your outside influences are in a way that allows you to be ready for the game day. So it's an interesting challenge, and you throw in that as well, Mark, that he's 0-2 on the road, you know, and so you got to be able to thrive in a road environment and clear that hurdle as well.
We'll find out when we talk to Caleb Williams on Wednesday, but I'm thinking and actually hoping that he doesn't downplay this, that he doesn't say it's just another game and, hey, we're worried about us. And knowing his personality and just getting to know him from his stuff on the podium and occasional conversations in the locker room, he seems like the type of guy who will embrace this and say, yeah, man, it is awesome that this game got flexed to 3:00. It is awesome that it's the first overall pick against the second overall pick. I don't think there's any – Cole Kmet kind of said that today. Like, I don't think there's any problem with, I'm just paraphrasing, embracing the fact that this is a big game and it's meaningful and it's fun that it's 1-2. So many times it feels like, and I get it, it's what sports teams have to do to make themselves just keep on that even keel. But why not? Why not play it up a little bit and enjoy it and embrace it?
Well, I love the sentiments that Cole shared today, because he was very emphatic in saying, look, your preparation doesn't change and the way you go about your week doesn't change, but your energy levels should change for big games. And you should have the want to be on that stage with everybody checking in to see how you measure up in big moments. You know, this is the trajectory that the Bears want to go. This is the ride that they want to take. And when you are a young ascending team trying to get comfortable in these moments, you want to experience these moments. Now, look, there's guys on this football team that have been there. TJ Edwards, we heard from today, he's played in a Super Bowl. Tremaine Edmonds has made deep playoff runs. There's guys here that know what it's like to be in those moments, and then there's guys that aren't. And I think the more experience you can gain in these types of games, not only navigating the preparation, but then getting in them and feeling that adrenaline surge, it's important. And it's not just important for this year, it's important for the year after that, and the year after that, and the year after that, because the more big games in you get in, the more big game experience you want. And so hopefully this will be a beneficial thing, win, lose, or draw for the Bears, to kind of navigate this week together.
Yeah, that stuff is real, man. I mean, sometimes it just sounds like cliche and talk, but that, I mean, another thing Cole Kmet said, he says he's sick of playing in noon games. You know what I mean? They want that shine. They want, for whatever reason, whether it's they want the individual attention, that's cool. But really, it does. And I think I heard you talking about this on The Score today, that you had a friend that was watching the Minnesota Green Bay or the Minnesota Detroit game, and he said it felt like a playoff game. That's exactly what you want. It's like a college football season when you don't play enough big games during the year, and then you get to your bowl game and you get your ass beat. And we've seen too many Bears teams have that happen, because it didn't feel like the wins were legitimate and it didn't feel like they were big enough. So I think there is some, while it's not everything, I do think that there is some realness to that.
We'll circle back to that Lions-Vikings game before we're done here, because there are a couple things I want to throw at you before we're done there. But while we're on the topic of Cole Kmet, he also talked today about what's been a front burner storyline for the last 2 weeks, which is the Bears starting with the script or not starting with the script, right? And so just to put this in perspective for our listeners, there are some coaches that script everything. First 15 are scripted, and you have your third down plays that you want to get to. And then there are other coaches that have, some people call them openers, some people call them situational starters. There's a lot of different labels for them, but it's just, hey, here's a sampling of things that we might go to. You know, but it's not boom, 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 we're definitely running this, we're running this in that order. There's been a lot of talk about that over the last couple of weeks, about how the Bears have navigated that road in the first month and a half of the season. And listening to Cole chime in on that today, I thought was insightful. And let's take a listen to what he had to say.
There's been a lot of talk the last couple of weeks about the script to start the game. And how do you explain from a player's perspective the difference between having a script versus the situational starter menu that you may have been working off of?
Yeah, I mean, I think it gets overblown a little bit. I mean, there's coaches that don't have scripts going into games. That's very common for a lot of coaches. There's coaches that have it down to the T, where it's kind of teed up really up until halftime. Like, you got your first 15 or first 20 and your primary third down calls, where, I mean, I could tell you it's third and six. I know exactly what play is coming in. And then you take that really all the way to half, and then you regroup at half and kind of list what your opener is going to be for the half, and then you go on there until the end of the game, really. So there's a bunch of ways of doing it. Obviously, we got to be better, you know, coming out of the game. And I think as players, like, we got to execute better, because there's plays that are there for us to hit early on. And I think the quicker that we can get in our mojo, I think we've seen that once we get going and we get that first down and that first chunk gain, we really start rolling as an offense. So we just need to get to that sooner, and especially with the teams coming up that we're playing, that's going to be really important for us to be doing that early and often, just to give our defense rest early in the game and for us to be to get ahead early and just provide a little bit more of a cushion.
Yeah, but do you have a sense of it being a little bit overblown on the scripted plays? Have you ever had a situation since you've been here where it was not scripted, the first 15 plays?
Oh, yeah. No, I've had plenty of times. Yeah. And, I mean, there's situations coming in the game where, I mean, if you're backed up start of the game, like, you can throw that first 15 out the window. Like, that's not – it's, you know, you're not running the play you really wanted to on that first play of the game if you're at the 3-yard line. Like, that just happens. Or I've had times where you get a turnover and you're in the red zone. You're not going to run that normal first play. You're not going to your red zone script. So there's plenty of times that happens. I think, you know, for us – for me as a player personally, like, you'd like to have an idea of what's to come and what you can expect out there. And I feel like by the end of the week, for me mostly, like, I know, hey, if it's a third and six, third and eight call, you know, I kind of have an idea of the first three plays that Shane's going to be calling. And I hear the first two words of the play call, I already know what the play is. So I think that's where you kind of want to be as a player, and you feel really prepared in that essence, and you can go play fast in that regard. So I think that's where we're getting to in that way. But Yeah, I think you can really go either way in terms of the scripted stuff.
Cool. Do you have a sense of why you guys haven't started faster? I mean, we can talk about the script, but the first quarter.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's the script. I'll say that it's player execution and us being better in that regard.
What do you make of that, Mark?
Well, I think it's interesting. The only thing I would say, and I believe everything that Cole Kmet said, that the scripted plays are not everything, that it's overblown. It's just a matter of, are we comfortable when we start the game? Do we have some bread and butter plays? And that I understand. However, I would also say that, you know, Mercedes Lewis, who is a well-respected guy in that locker room, he made a point of saying that to a national reporter, to Stacey Dales, that this is what we did to change things to, I would say, subsequently, and I'm assuming that to make it better. So it sounded like it was something that was needed, whether it was scripted plays or just more organization early on or more confidence early on or more bread and butter early on. But I don't think that Mercedes Lewis said that for nothing, and that would also suggest to me that there were other players in the locker room who agreed with Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how this evolves because, look, like this has been used as an example of the Bears troubleshooting things after a rough early stretch of September with their offensive production. But the other part of this is what Cole said there in terms of their inability to start fast in games. The Bears have not scored first in any of their first six games yet. They have 10 points in the first quarter this season in six games, which is a little bit alarming. I think the only teams with fewer points are the Rams with six, and the Eagles, believe it or not, have not scored in the first quarter this season. That blew my mind when, wow, when I saw that statistic. But they have to get off on a better footing. It looked like as impressive as that Jaguars win was and as high powered as the offense got, the first quarter was a disaster. 2-3 and outs and a fastball thrown into the face mask of an offensive lineman, which we detailed last week. And so, man, like, add a fast start to what they've been doing in the second, third, and fourth quarter, and now all of a sudden you got the license to dream as big as you want to dream.
Yeah, and those are things that you will pay for against better teams. You can get away with, if you're Caleb Williams, a bad pass to DJ Moore, which should have been sick. You can get away with throwing the ball into Matt Pryor's face mask and all of those kinds of things. But, you know, we talk so much about you got to play. You will not get away with it against the better teams, or at least you'll be more sorry about it at the end of the game. So, for sure, it is frustrating. And I think that there's a panic button that people push, especially with Caleb Williams, when we see these early three and outs back to back. So, yeah, that's something that is on Shane Waldron, whether it's the scripted plays, whether it's just better play calling early on in the game, that does have to get fixed. And again, the Bears have the luxury of fixing these things early on. And while you are winning, while you are 4-2, make yourself better for when it gets real.
No question about it. A couple personnel things I wanted to get to with you. We'll start with the injuries, because obviously I think our eyes will be on that injury report come Wednesday afternoon, and obviously on the practice field when the Bears get back out there on Wednesday. The defensive backfield, we're still kind of waiting for full clearance on Jaquan Brisker, who remains in the protocol, but it sounded today from Matt Eberflus that they were optimistic that he would get that clearance by Wednesday's practice, and it was a little bit more iffy with Kyler Gordon and Tyreek Stevenson, although I have to say that Matt's tone was decidedly positive on Monday when talking about Stevenson's calf injury and his ability to even get on the field for walkthrough on Monday, which gives you a sense that maybe that would be in a good position for him to make his return this week against Commanders.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to hear that both Scott Daly and Tyreek Stevenson, where the Bears did do a very light walkthrough on Monday, right? As I was walking into Halas Hall, and as you were, you could see them practicing. We can't give you any kind of specifics, nor do I have any from the actual practice, but those guys were out there, so I think that portends well for them. Kyler Gordon, a little bit more ambiguous. I jotted this down, working through a hammy. I mean, that after Eberflus was more positive about the previous two guys, Daly and Stevenson. So, right now, if I'm calling it early in the week, I am pessimistic about Kyler Gordon returning, but I like Daly and Stevenson coming back. And then I'm not sure about Brisker. He said, you know, Eberflus says he has a couple more steps to go in protocol. I don't know what – I'd need to know exactly what those steps are, what steps he has passed. And considering his history with concussions, I do wonder if they will be – if there will be an abundance of caution with Brisker. So I'm a little bit iffy right now on Brisker, just from what I heard from Matt Eberflus today.
Wednesday will be really interesting to monitor that and see if he does get a green light to at least be limited and get back on the practice field and be in that setting. Obviously, the Bears would love to have him back, but as we documented last week, Elijah Hicks stepped in well without Brisker on the field. The other personnel thing I wanted to ask you about, because you asked Matt about it, was the status of Nate Davis, whose name is being floated. It's on a hook. It's got a shiny reel attached to it as the trade deadline nears here before the end of the month. And there was, I believe it was Ian Rappaport on NFL Network over the weekend, they said that the names Khalil Herbert and Nate Davis have been drawing interest as the Bears look at possible trade options before the end of the month. That, to me, Mark, felt like a front office here at House Hall trying to put out a help wanted ad and saying, hey, this is available here on our version of Craigslist. If you want a backup benched guard, he's here and you can make your calls. We'll take your best offer. And then Khalil Herbert's a whole different story because sure, you entertain trade calls and you explore every possibility. I'm just not sure how many teams that are in contention are out there right now seeking a running back and willing to give up great draft capital to get a guy. So it'll be interesting to see. But that felt more to me like, hey, these guys aren't doing much for us right now. Anybody want them?
Totally. I'm sure that is the case. And I don't blame the Bears if that is the case. And for everybody listening, Matt Eberflus's answer was the old, hey, you know, I'm not going to name names, but everybody, it's that time of the year. Guys are getting traded. So that was Matt Eberflus's way of, in my opinion, saying, yeah, Mark, he is on the trading block, but I can't say that right now. So for the record, Flus did not say anything about it, a non-denial. But again, there's no way, Dan, that Nate Davis, I'll just make a prediction, he's not going to be on this roster in a month. I mean, I would be surprised if he's here in the next 2 weeks. They're done with Nate Davis. Even he's the backup to the backup at this point. So are they going to get trade value for him? I'd be shocked about that. Same deal with Khalil Herbert, just because of the nature of his position and the fact that the Bears have essentially given up on Khalil Herbert as a runner. So in terms of trade, hey, that'd be awesome if the Bears could get value for him. But I'd be very surprised if Nate Davis is here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, and the Bears will have to reshuffle their offensive line when Ryan Bates comes back off injured reserve, and they're going to have to make some room, and they've gotten some life out of both Matt Pryor and to some extent Bill Murray a couple weeks ago.
Do you think Nate Davis is going to be here? You think he's still going to be around? You think he lasts on this roster?
I think he's fallen out of favor here for certain, and they've just got to figure out what makes the most sense for all parties, right, to make it clean. But I don't see him being a part of this for the long haul, no.
Yeah, and the Ryan Bates thing is fascinating, too. I cannot see a scenario where he is not put back in once he is healthy, regardless of what Matt Pryor has done on this line, and he's been fine. But I think that's an easy fix for me. You slide him back in at right guard. You got Tevin Jenkins on the left side. And I would stick with, unless Caleb Williams, if they huddle up with Caleb Williams and say, hey, you're not comfortable with Coleman Shelton, okay, we'll try Ryan Bates. I don't think you just throw Ryan Bates in at a center position. I think you have to, for better or for worse, some fans might think. I think you stick with Coleman Shelton.
Yeah, and listen, the point totals have been going up, and so you don't want to mess around too much when you've got a good thing going.
Truth.
We'll see which direction they go. You mentioned Scott Daly a minute ago. Really interesting they obviously signed Jake McQuaid to the practice squad last week.
You love Jake McQuaid, don't you?
Well, I do. I love long snappers. By the way, Cole Kmet was very funny today when talking about how many long snappers are angry at him for getting special teams
player
of the
awesome.
Week for being able to snap the ball five times without a major blunder, and then the sixth time he got a field goal blocked. But he said, there's two in my own locker room that were a little bit upset at me for getting the honor as special teams player of the week. But I bring that up because if Scott Daly is limited in any way, you've got decisions to make at the end of the week. If this knee injury is problematic, you can't go into the game with Scott Daly just kind of like 60% okay. As much faith as you have in the reigning NFC special teams player of the week, Cole Kmet, there comes a point where you say, well, man, Like, if Scott can't finish this game, then we've got to activate Jake McQuaid for this game and take our chances with the operation that way. I know it's a small thing, but certainly worth keeping an eye on as the week goes.
Anyway, the funny part, too, about Cole Kmet is he today actually did film review of his long snapping, which was hilarious. And apparently he graded out decently. I mean, there was definitely some imperfection. And I'll just cap it off by saying this. It was fun. It was great. The Bears got away with it. I don't want to ever see Cole Kmet long snapping again.
Cole agrees with you. He doesn't yes. want to see it either.
Yeah, he doesn't want any part of it either.
Exactly. He wants not to do exactly it on Thursdays. He's going to do it a few times in practice just to be ready in case. But no, I think he's done with that as well. All right, before we get out of here, I had the opportunity on Sunday to watch football like the rest of the world watches football. Lions Vikings at noon on Sunday. Man, was that a big-time football game in a big-time atmosphere. A little shout-out to Aaron Pierce. He's the head coach of the sixth-grade flag football team that I'm the assistant for. We're 6-0, by the way. He's the one that drove up to Minneapolis with his boys. He's a big diehard Detroit Lions fan. They go to a different stadium every year. They chose Minnesota this year, and he was texting me from that game saying, this place is so cool, and this atmosphere is alive, and you can understand why. That game goes right down to the wire. The Lions bounce back after a rough start. They get rolling. They take a commanding lead. Then they give it up. Then they come back. Then they lead a field goal drive to take the lead. And then they got to survive late in the game. And it was just a big time football game in a division that, Mark, seems like it's setting up for a whole bunch of big time football games as we come down the stretch.
I mean, yeah, we've all been pumping up the NFC North, and then there it was yesterday. It's like, you know, the Bears are going to get into this as well, but I thought early on, I thought, oh, okay, Detroit has met their match. Maybe Minnesota's for real because they were dominating that thing early on, but that game was a blast to watch from beginning to end. Adam Amin and Greg Olsen were awesome in that game. You talk about right. I mean, everybody was right. Like, the players rose to the occasion, the fans rose to the occasion, and the announcers rose to the occasion. That game was a blast. I couldn't take my eyes off it. I was trying to get things done around my house and do other things and maybe even exit my place. I couldn't because it was so, even though I had it going on my DVR, I can't stop watching this game.
Yeah, I mean, look, like Jahmyr Gibbs, he's one of the 10 things that you can love about that Lions team right now, because that dude is a playmaker. Ooh. And he made some big time runs with the big long touchdown run he had, the cut he made around the 30-yard line, just like
that cut.
Oh. Good night. Good night.
Oh my God. Longest run of his career too, I think, on that one. Yeah. That cut was and that was one thing I wish the announcers would have made a bigger deal out of. I mean, like, I'm sure there have been running backs who have made cuts like that, but that was fantastic what he did. Another thing Cole Kmet was saying too about this division, like he was like, it kind of sucks that everybody's good, that there's no weak link, there's no but it's also fun. Like, be careful what you wish for with every right. team in this division being, I think, good.
And the Bears will have a good lead up to getting to that first division game, which will be against the Packers, and 6 of their final 8 against the NFC North. But I'm telling you, like, you watched parts of that game on Sunday and you're like, my God, number one, Brian Flores is going to challenge Caleb Williams when it comes time for him to take that test against the Vikings. Then you watched Jared Goff do things against that Brian Flores-led defense and you're like, man, a massive amount of respect for his ability to handle the operation, to bounce back after the David Montgomery fumble gave the Vikings a lead late and lead a touchdown drive with a couple big completions. And you just see two teams that seem like they're for real. That didn't seem like there was any pretenders in that football game yesterday. And that's a little bit of a warning to the Bears that, like, be ready because the division's coming. And when you got to play 6 of your final 8 against those foes, you better be ready to play those games.
I can't wait to see what Eric Washington and the Bears defense have in store for those offenses. And they are, as we've been talking about, there is explosiveness in each and every one of those. So from every angle, those are going to be fascinating games to watch.
No question about it. Well, we've got a lot ahead of us this week. Anything else you got on your plate before we roll into the meat of week 8?
Yeah, man. Pumped to be back out here. The only thing I thought, other thing was TJ Edwards getting up there. And I did ask him the question about, because I know we've all sort of been obsessed with, are the Bears a top five team? We talked about this a little bit on the last podcast. And I know you wrote a big piece, too, about the Bears defense. I thought it was interesting the way he answered. I mean, I asked him, are you guys a top five defense? He did not say, yes, we're a top five defense. He kind of took a deep breath and said, yeah, we're good, but there are lots of things that they have left on the table. He kind of said that, you know, explosive plays, and we've seen some of that this year with running backs bursting through for big runs, and he didn't want to get too specific, but it almost felt like TJ Edwards had just come out of the film room and seeing some of the mistakes that that defense has made. So they're, I don't think that they're ready to be like, yeah, we're elite and we're top five. It's not quite there yet is what I surmised from what TJ Edwards told us.
Yeah, I mean, you run the black light over it and you see some of the stains on the resume, but you also have to understand that this team has an edge about it, and the defense in particular knows that to be elite in this league, you have to bring it every single week, and you have to have no lapses, and you have to have no weaknesses, and very few areas where you get caught. And so, look, like statistically, in all the major categories, the Bears are top 10. They certainly look like they're capable of handling everybody on their schedule. We've got this well-documented streak now of games in which they've held their opponent to 21 or fewer. So they are for real, but what I like about this group is they are not complacent, they are not satisfied, and they do have that edge to keep pushing that bar a little higher.
Yeah, that seems to be, especially on the defensive side of the ball, with Jalen Johnson constantly saying that they're not good enough. And times that we've talked to him around his locker and, you know, giving us specifics on things that aren't right yet. So, man, this locker room is different than, you know, any locker room that I've covered since 2018 in terms of knowing that they should win, knowing that they're talented. And that's another thing that came out today. I don't remember who it was that said it. I think it was Cole Kmet again. Cole Kmet really shined today. Cole Kmet saying that there's actually enough talent on this team to cover up mistakes, that you can't continue to do that and let that be your fail safe. But again, how long has it been since we'd be able to say that you have enough guys that you're going to have a bad start like the offense did, and then you're going to make up for it late in the game. Don't take advantage of that, but that's a pretty handy thing to have. Talent.
It's nice to be good, right? Because you can rescue yourself from some really tough places, and it'll be interesting to see how they go. The other thing this week, we'll get to this later in the week, Montez Sweat going back to Washington. I'm sure you will have a very audio-filled compilation of Montez's thoughts on
that's Montez, we call it, Weeder. We call it I have to think of the name of the show here, the Spiegel and Holmes show. We call it That's Montez. Most Thursdays on the Score at 5 o'clock. So absolutely. And hey, DJ Moore, who had that massive game,
huge,
led the 200 yard game last year, so he may be licking his this maybe the story should be about DJ Moore this week, man, and licking his chops going back to DC.
A lot of storylines, and we will definitely keep you in the loop on the Jaden Daniels injury and what that means for Caleb versus Jaden, or if it's going to be Caleb versus Marcus. I still got my plane ticket and my press pass, and I'll be there regardless.
Amen, man.
All right, that's Mark Grody. I'm Dan Weeder. Thank you for joining us on the Take the North podcast. Remember to like, subscribe, tell your friends about the pod. Continue along with us as we head into Week 8, a big week for the Chicago Bears as they try to get to 5-2. High-profile game against the Commanders coming up Sunday. For Adam Stadzinski, Mark Grody, I'm Dan Weeder. Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.